It is 26 minutes after the hour. It is a Transcendent Tuesday, and with us is Dr. Don Clark. Don, a biochemist, a member of the Board of Creation Moments, and a good friend of the station after now, 10 and a half years on the air with us here, almost weekly. Don, have we exhausted your supply of knowledge yet at this point? We still have something left to give us?
Oh, we always have something left to give. I mean, you know, the information on the internet just keeps growing, and so there are, you know, new things to talk about.
Yeah, boy, sometimes it does. We talked about a range of things over the years, and most importantly, Genesis and the creation story. But since COVID, we've dabbled a lot into your experience as a biochemist and your time in pharmaceuticals, and talked about vaccines, mRNA vaccines, mRNA vaccines, which is what the Pfizer vaccine turned out to be after all, much to the contrary of what they had claimed. And there's more news coming out now. There's been a couple of years of experience with these vaccines. And Dr. Malone, Robert Malone, is one of the outstanding researchers and reporters on this. He questions the terms safe and effective. He says it's been basically a psychological manipulation tool because it's stated over and over again, that pair of words. And he says, let's examine whether or not the two products are particular and the mRNA products in particular. He says it's indisputable. They do not prevent infection. They do not prevent replication. They do not prevent spread. They do not prevent disease. And they do not prevent death. Therefore, I assert they are not effective. And then Pfizer's response? Well, we know the products have some effect in reducing disease and death risk. That's a pretty wimpy statement, Don.
Oh, it's very wimpy. As a matter of fact, if you looked at all of the literature now that has come out on the adverse events of these vaccines, you would say they don't even prevent death. They increase death. And some studies show they increase death by 1.5%, you know, 1.5 times more. People have died on the vaccines than not taking the vaccines.
Soon after getting the vaccines, in many cases.
Sometimes it's soon after. Sometimes it's months after. Sometimes it's a year after or longer after getting the vaccines. So it is. These things are not in any typical way safe or effective, and should have never been approved, in my opinion, by the FDA. The strict requirements that we had to jump through when I was in biotechnology seem to have been completely thrown out the window with these things. And you know, to accept just animal studies allowing these things to be put into humans is it's just uncalled for. But be that as it may, let's talk about some of the things that we know about these vaccines. First of all, you know, they really are not clean. It's interesting, the initial, and maybe we talked about this in a previous program, but the initial Pfizer studies were done on, I would say, probably lab batches of the vaccine, in which they had much greater control on the production. And so those weren't contaminated with the things that are now in and were in the major distribution of the vaccine when millions and millions of doses were being produced. And one of those things, one of the contaminations that have cropped up, or that is now been demonstrated without, you know, a shadow of a doubt, is that now they contain DNA, DNA fragments from the manufacturing process. And you know, whether this can be called a contamination or an adulteration, it's just a degree of, you know, what
now,
are
now
the...
Now, Don, is this the difference between mRNA and mod or modified RNA?
Okay, let me clarify that first. So mRNA stands for messenger RNA. And the whole premise for these vaccines is, gee, let's create a messenger RNA that codes for the spike protein. So, you know, we know that the COVID-19, for example, does its damage by being able to stick to cells, in particular respiratory cells, and it does that through this spike protein. So it's, you've seen pictures of this round ball with mm-hmm. spikes coming out of
yes.
it. Well, that's the end of that, is the spike protein, and that's what sticks to the cells. And so they, in their great wisdom, the vaccine, well, Pfizer and Moderna, later Moderna and other companies said, well, let's make a messenger RNA vaccine. I mean, let's make a new class of vaccines based on the messenger RNA, and messenger RNA, excuse me, in your body codes for proteins. And so, you know, your DNA copies the information. There are enzymes, basically, that unwind the DNA and then copy the DNA into what's called messenger RNA. And then the messenger RNA goes into the cytoplasm out of the nucleus of the cell. And there, in the ribosomes, it makes proteins from that messenger RNA. And it makes many copies of proteins out of that. The thought was, let's make messenger RNA to the spike protein. So that's what they did. But natural messenger RNA doesn't hang around for a very long time because there's enzymes that chew it up. It's not meant to hang around for a long time. So they have modified it with a particular the uricin base that's normally on RNA. One of the bases in RNA is uricin, and so, or uracil, and they modified that so that the enzymes couldn't chew up the messenger RNA. So now you have a modified RNA that doesn't degrade, or at least doesn't degrade at the same rate of how, you know, natural messenger RNA. Now, the studies, as far as I'm aware, have not been done to show, well, okay, if it doesn't degrade as rapidly as the normal messenger RNA, what is the rate of degradation? I've never seen a study on that. That doesn't mean that they don't exist, but it may show that it hangs around for an awful long time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they don't want published, is that these things hang around not only for days, but for months and possibly for years and maybe for your life. And that would be a problem, because now your cells have the ability and continue to manufacture spike protein, which we know is very toxic to the body. It has all kinds of neurological effects on the body. So therefore, you don't want that around. It crosses the blood-brain barrier, so it gets into your brain. And so, you know, people that have experienced, for example, after getting COVID or during getting COVID, brain fog is one result of the spike protein getting into your brain and kind of slowing things down up there, as well as this whole business of losing the sense of smell is also a result of the spike protein getting into your brain. So, you know, we don't know how long this modified messenger RNA is sticking around, but we do know that the effects are long lasting. And as I said earlier, that at least 6 months and probably years. So your body is producing this spike protein. And what that does to your immune system is it tells your immune system that, oh, we've got this now was a foreign protein, but since your body's making it, it's no longer foreign. And so the immune system says, oh, just ignore that. Ignore the spike protein. Ignore, you know, that. And so people who have gotten multiple doses in particular of the vaccines are now, their immune system is shut down against the COVID virus.
They're more so vulnerable than maybe they were in the beginning.
They're much more vulnerable to what they were in the beginning. I mean, your body, you know, has a natural defense. But, you know, I'll give you an example of what exactly is happening here. You know, if a person is allergic to an antigen, you're allergic to pollen or something. So you go to your allergist and he says, oh, yeah, we could take care of that. We'll just inject you with, you know, pollen particles or whatever it is you're allergic to, and your immune system will build up tolerance to it. That's exactly what's happening with the spike protein and with these messenger RNA. And so now your immune system says, oh, this is just part of the background noise and I don't have to do anything about it. And so it doesn't. And so that's a problem. You're more susceptible to getting COVID and probably more susceptible to spreading COVID, because obviously if you've got it and if it's an active infection, you can spread it to other people. Now, the good thing is that that COVID-19 has mutated so much that we're not hearing about a lot of deaths anymore. So it's not as lethal as it was in the beginning. And this is normal virology. I mean, viruses move from being extreme. Some, you know, these type of viruses, for example, move from being extremely lethal to being not so much because, you know, it's going to affect more people if the people stay around for longer. Now, the virus doesn't know that, obviously, but that, in effect, what happened.
Well, the effects of COVID-19 were tragic to so many families and so many people around the world, but I think maybe the most grievous injury has been the credibility of our medical institutions has been shredded, and I'm talking about the CDC and the FDA and the NIH and the WHO. Who do you trust anymore to give you honest information about this? There still seems to be, and this story you gave us out of New Zealand, where they arrested a leaker who found bad information about what COVID was doing, tried to release it, and they arrested him. I mean, there's still information manipulation going on, and it makes you wonder whether all this research and all this effort by Pfizer and Moderna and the other companies was an honest, well-motivated response to an emergency, or it was a conspiracy.
Well, that's a good question, and maybe you know, history will tell us which of that it is. But it's looking more and more like there was certainly collusion between the pharmaceutical companies and our government and other governments around the world. We talked about last time, for example, that there was I wouldn't necessarily call it a plot, but there was, you know, strong suggestion that the global government wanted to have a pandemic of a virus, because they could test whether people would be would succumb. To government pressure to lock them up, for example, and to how far they could go with mandates. And of course, the mask mandate was one of those such things. So in their minds, the whole COVID experience, COVID-19 and the vaccines were a tremendous success, because it scared people into doing things they normally wouldn't do, like not going to work. Or, you know, only major box houses being able to stay open while mom and pop shops had to close down. You couldn't go to a restaurant. And if you ultimately went to a restaurant. The restaurant had to restructure their inside so that they had half or a quarter of the number of tables that they
used
to have.
And don't send your kids to school.
Oh, don't send them. No, no, no. Mm-hmm. The teachers just don't want to get COVID. So let's not send them to school. Let's not educate them. The loss in education was, astounding. That, you know, the young kids lost basically a whole year of education, and then we just passed them on to the next grade. So how are they going to do their studies the following year when they don't have the foundation from the previous year? So it's a dumbing down of society. They were able to control society with the procedures that they put into place. Obviously, the federal government are the agencies which were supposed to protect us, like the FDA, the NIH, these institutions and the CDC. These institutions colluded with one another and the pharmaceutical companies to orchestrate all of this. And unfortunately, many of the medical centers around the world, many of our, in especially around our country and in other places, you know, if hospitals did not do what the government said, we're not going to pay you. You know, we're not going to give you these big bonuses. So all of that was taking place during this COVID time. And it certainly looked like an orchestrated effort to, in an experimentation on let's control the population of the world and can we do it through COVID and through fear. I mean, there's no question that the World Economic Forum, for example, they have a, Klaus Strauss, what's his name? Klaus.
I can't help you there.
Schwab. Klaus Schwab.
Yeah, thank you. Yes.
He wrote a COVID-19 pamphlet, a book saying that, oh, we can use this to further our cause of the Great Reset. Hmm. And that's exactly what they did. Now, fortunately for us, we have people like Dr. Malone and other doctors, you know, that said, wait a minute, this is crazy. We're treating COVID, you know, wrong in these hospitals. You need to treat this like we normally treat medicine. You treat what's happening at the time. And so we had. We had compounds or drugs, for example, that have been on the market for years and were safe. And as you recall, of course, they didn't allow doctors to use ivermectin.
That had to be a money issue because the government was paying so much to the pharmaceutical companies to develop this emergency vaccine. That's where the priority was, not on the old stuff. That was cheap. You can buy that for pennies on the dollar compared to the COVID stuff. So I think a lot of that had to do with government funding. And now
it was yes, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, you also sent an article. This is an Epoch Times article here about a recent study on mask wearers and wearing masks and the effectiveness or the after effects of doing that. It says that mask wearers were found to have up to 40% higher incidence of infection to COVID-19. It's like fool me once. I don't think they can put over the masks and the lockdowns on this society again the way they did the first
time. Well, I hope not. I hope people aren't, just walking in step with what the government is saying. I mean, we should be extremely cautious about anything like this. And, who knows? I mean, the things that we've seen in this administration, it wouldn't surprise me that they would call out the National Guard to round up people. Now, that sounds crazy. Mm-hmm. But we've seen the teachers, for example, intimidated and the FBI going in full force into a teacher's home and arresting her for you know, being against what's happening in the schools, being against pornography.
And then again, this report from New Zealand where somebody reporting adverse events from a legitimate database was arrested for doing so, for using a computer for dishonest purposes. I mean,
dishonest purposes. It was for honest purposes to say, here's the data. Here's the data that's been collected. Let's put it out there. And so people will know this is what happened in our society. So, yeah, anything you do against the government, you become a target.
So what they need is a new emergency of some kind.
Well, yes. And the vaccine worked so well. Maybe they are, the COVID-19 worked so well. It's certainly known that China is working on other viruses and with the help of our government. I hope we're not doing that anymore. But,
There have been recent alerts for other diseases, including some old diseases, monkeypox even malaria and incidents arising in Florida of malaria. They're trying to keep us on edge. I mean, that's my natural instinct here. And I'm suspicious of any kind of health information that says there's an emergency coming now. I just don't believe it.
And rightfully so, because of what happened with the COVID-19 experiment, if you will. Yeah, you're better off, learning natural homeopathic methods for, treating disease. Doing things that, boost the strength of your immune system, for example. Taking vitamin D and nicotinamide and, vitamin C and zinc when you get... that we normally were doing when we had a cold.
You've made some very strong recommendations on vitamin regimens that have protected us here, because we avoided the vaccine. We had an initial shot because of a particular situation when we didn't want to do that, but did it. But we've had really no contact with COVID-19. We wore masks only because we wanted to conform, I suppose. We didn't ever think they were actually helpful in any way. And we discarded them as soon as we could, because there was a time when to go into a business, you had to have a mask on. Now, that's here in Texas, at least, very few are wearing masks. There are still a few around. But for the most part, people are over the fear, and they're doing a lot more critical thinking about what they're being told by these health agencies and their hospitals and their doctors.
I saw a lady wearing a mask in a car the other day.
But yeah, it's still surprisingly it is still around. Now some mm-hmm. people may be wearing masks because they're sick and they're out and about. The problem the multiple problems with wearing masks: if you're sick, you're concentrating the disease right mm-hmm. there on your face and in your mouth and in your nose. And so, God created us to breathe and to sneeze and to cough. And part of that is getting rid of the infection, the respiratory infection that you have. It's a natural response. So wearing masks just aggravate that and prevent the natural response of healing your body. So it slows healing and causes, of course, you get bacteria that accumulate in the mask. And now you got a bacterial infection as well as a viral infection. And things start spiraling downward quickly.
Of course, for some, a mask is a fashion statement these days, which kind of disgusts me also. If people are more comfortable wearing one, I'm not going to argue them out of it. I'm not going to take issue with it. But for me, mm-mm. Yeah, feeling now about masks, yeah.
No, I mean, we'll wear masks, and we actually wear, a respirator type of thing when we spray our vineyard
sure.
with chemicals because mm-hmm. we don't want to get the toxic effect from the chemicals, and we wear, you know, suits and everything to protect us. But yeah, for a virus, it is you know, it doesn't make any sense at all. So you know, the information continues to come out negative against these vaccines, and many of the practices that were conducted during the COVID-19 pandemic. And you know, I think we're going to be haunted by the side effects and the adverse events by these vaccines in particular for yet years to come.
I think the worm has turned, unless there's a great new emergency that somehow proves to be valid. And the government's going to have to go some distance to convince me, at least, to be afraid of what's happening out there. There's a higher power taking care of us, who manages the nations, who has a plan and a purpose for everybody. And that's where my trust resides. Not the government. Yeah. Amen. Dr. Don Clark, a member of the board of Creation Moments, I want to mention their website to you. It's creationmoments.com. There you'll find a whole lot of scientific information that supports and explains the biblical story of creation. We recommend a visit there, creationmoments.com. Don, thanks so much. Good to have you back after the last 2 or 3 weeks. It's just good to see your face and hear your thoughts, and hope all's well with you and Andre and the family out there in Garden Valley, Texas.
Well, thank you very much. I hope you have a Merry Christmas, and I guess we'll be back next week.
Well, I anticipate that. Yes, 26th.
We'll
see. Yeah, what you got for
I'll
Christmas.
Have my family in town, so we'll see what's going on. But I should be able to cut. Well, we'll have to just play it. By here, I guess.
Well, we'll be in touch on
that. They can spare you for a half hour.
Well, they probably could.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
Don, have a great week and a Merry Christmas, and we'll talk to you maybe next week. Bye-bye.
Yeah. All righty.
Merry Christmas.
Blessings. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.